Blog Talk Radio.
Just lift your worship right there in this moment.
Fire, Lord. Set us on fire, Lord. Set us on fire, Lord. Hallelujah. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Daily Fire. 15 minutes of hot manna for your soul, taking you from the status quo of everyday life to glory, to glory, to glory, living higher in Jesus. I am Evangelist Rossi Williams, here with you live on Blog Talk Radio, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern, with new teaching, prayer, altar call, and then assigning your daily task. And I got a word for you today. Our topic for today is no room in the inn. No room in the inn. I-N-N, the inn. And we're coming from the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 20. And this is such a powerful word because this is what my siblings and I just have experienced throughout this whole last night and this morning regarding our mother. And I'm going to show you how God works. While you're getting those Bibles ready, let me remind you of how to tune in to Daily Fire with me. You can call in live Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern by calling 323-870-4180. That's 323-870-4180. And I welcome everyone who's tuned in live with me right now. But if you cannot call in at 7, you can hear the recording anytime after 8 a.m. Eastern on my ministry website, feelthefire.com. That's FeeldFire.com. But even better, follow the Daily Fire podcast so the recording will be text straight to your cell phone at 8 a.m. Eastern, and then you can listen to it at any time throughout the day whenever you're available. Open that text, click that link, and it takes you straight to the teaching. Follow by texting the letters DF for Daily Fire to phone number 33222. If you were unable to write that down, all of the information I just gave you is on my website, feelthefire.com, FeeldFire.com. By now, you should have those Bibles ready. I'm in the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 20. I'm sorry, let me change that. I apologize. Luke chapter 2, praise the Lord, verses 1 through 7. Luke 2, verses 1 through 7, reading from the KJV. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, this is the father of Jesus, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her, this is the last verse, her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Come on and give God praise for his word. Wherever you are, say, thank you, Jesus, right now. What is our topic? Say it aloud with me right now. No room in the inn. On last night, our mother, well, on yesterday, really, afternoon, our mother presented to the hospital, to the ER. And, you know, just nausea and vomiting. Initially, we thought maybe it was some kind of infection like the flu or something going around where she lives. But to make a long story short, my mother ended up having heart problems, cardiovascular problems. And for those of you who've been walking this journey with me for quite a while, you remember last year how my mother had to be medevaced to Emory Hospital in Atlanta for open heart surgery, and how the surgery itself only had like a 30% success rate. And you remember how God came through and brought her through. And you remember me telling you the conversation I had with her where she said, I'm not going to make it. Just let them go on and take me. I don't want that surgery. And I reminded her that 30% is powerful when it's in the hands of God. Even if you only have 1%, when it's in God's hands, 1% is like, you know, having every percentage, the highest percentage of success, 100% chance, because God is sovereign. So on yesterday and all through last night, you know, they were trying to find out what was wrong. They know it's somehow cardiovascular related. In the hospital where she was, in our small community in Alabama, did not have the capability to perform the further intervention that was needed. So my siblings and I praise the Lord, I have some great siblings. I love them greatly. You know, although everyone always sees me as strong and I am, there are some times I have to lean on them and they become my rock. And many times that I'm their rock. But, you know, all through the night, we've been awake, up, dealing with this for our mom. So we decided that we would like for her to go back to Emory in Atlanta, my siblings and I, because that's where God revealed that first miracle for her cardiovascular system by using that specialized physician who's in like a specialty that less than 10% of surgeons have nationwide. So, you know, when God has already used someone for you once, you kind of want to try to go back to that same person. However, if you know anything about insurance, there's no way they're going to send you away from a small town in Alabama over to Emory in Atlanta and they pay for the transport or anything unless it's medically necessary. Stay here with me. Now, in the book of Luke, chapter 2, that I read to you, here we saw the biblical record of the birth of Jesus, the Son of God, and how when David and Mary were going to be taxed and she was pregnant, it became time for her to deliver. And although this was God's only son, to fulfill prophecy, which had already been declared in the Old Testament about the humility and the humble status of Christ, not only as the Son of God, but as a servant. He ensured that there was no room in the inn, no lodging to take Jesus in and have him born in the best of the best. But no, to fulfill what was already decreed, there was no room in the inn so that he'd be born in a manger. Fast forward to my mother. I was talking to my siblings because one of my youngest siblings who was there with my mom because she lives in that area in the hospital. And, we, you know, we all said we need to get her to Atlanta. But, you know, I'm a nurse. I've been a nurse over 20 years. And I knew that without there being medical necessity, the hospital would not be able to justify sending her away to Atlanta. And then the physician said that they didn't want to do that because of the concern that something may happen en route in the 2-3 hour, you know, transport by the ambulance to get her there. But look at God. So what they did is they started calling hospitals in Birmingham, Alabama, saying we need an ICU bed. They called Princeton, large hospital, part of the Baptist Healthcare Network. They had no network. They had no room in the ICU. They had no bed. They called UAB. Everybody knows how large UAB is. They had no bed in the ICU. They called Grandview. They called Brookwood. They called every hospital in Birmingham, and there was no bed. They came back in, and they said, we need to call hospitals in Huntsville. They called hospitals in Huntsville, Alabama. Stay with me. There were no beds. Then they told us, they said, what do you want us to do? They said, we need to send her to Mississippi. And I said, no, to my sister. We wanted to go to Emory. That's the doctor who performed the surgery. That's the doctor who knows her. And my sister, praise the Lord, she's such a powerful young mini-me. I tell her pretty soon I expect to see her preaching the word of God. And so my sister said, no, we want to send her to Emory. And I reminded my siblings, there's got to be medical necessity. So they went back, and they couldn't find a bed in Huntsville. Then they came back and said, well, we got to call Montgomery. They called the hospitals in Montgomery. Are you with me? And they couldn't find a bed. Then they wanted to send her to Tupelo, Mississippi. But finally, after they'd exhausted every bed they knew, every hospital to call, where there was no room in the end. Glory. Then they came and said, all right, we're going to send her to Emory. I'm telling you this because, you see, sometimes when there is no room in the inn for whatever the situation is in your life, you start to doubt God. You know, when people leave out of your life whom you feel were important and you exhaust every strategy to try to get them back, you cry and you're worrying about why couldn't I bring them back. I'm showing you that God closes doors for a reason. God ensures there is no room in the end when he's trying to take you to another location, to a higher destiny. You see, some of you lost that job. And understandably, you cried and you were upset. But I'm trying to tell you, it's okay that there's no more room in the end for you at that place. God has a better place for you. God has already decreed the end before the beginning. And all he's doing is making all of the distractions say we don't have room so he can get you to the right place. No room in the end. Bless the Lord. There are some things that you are worrying about right now. God, how can I fix this? How can I make it through? But I'm telling you, praise him when there's no room in the end. Celebrate when there's no room in the end. Because if God closed the doors to ensure his son would be where he wanted him to be, don't you know he's doing the same thing for you? No room in the end is a good thing. No room in that situation anymore is a good thing. No room with those toxic, jealous, envious, backbiting, backstabbing, gossiping frenemies you had, it's a good thing. No room having to go into that same job, it's a good thing. No room in the end is a good thing. No room in your past anymore, it's a good thing. No room, no room, no room, it's a good thing because God closed the door to get you right where he wanted you to be. So we are right now, hallelujah, because our mother is going to be in the hands of the person who already let God use him to perform the first miracle. It's all right that there was no room in the hospital beds in Alabama because God wanted to get her to Atlanta. And even when through the human way, it was impossible unless there was medical necessity. God made medical necessity come into fruition. No room in the end is a good thing. Say it. No room in the end is a good thing. Look at your past and say, no room, no room, no room in the end. It's a good thing. Be Hallelujah, Jesus. You're warm in the end. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you because you know the end before the beginning. And because you know the end before the beginning, you know every detour, every distraction. You know every attack of the enemy. And this is why we must trust in you. Because you can see down the road what we cannot see. And this is why, God, you come in and you are light unto our feet. You're light unto our path. This is why the steps of a good man, a woman, are ordered by the Lord, because, God, you are taking us exactly where you want us to be. Now, Father, I ask you to bless everyone listening right now. Father, let them release every situation to you. Let them learn how to praise you when doors are closed. Thank you when doors are closed. Honor you and glorify you when doors are closed. People leave their lives. Just say hallelujah. There's no more room in the end of that, in the end for that situation, and I praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm going to do the altar call and assign your task. Because I'm so on fire, I'm trying to keep myself from speaking in tongues. But I'm trying to tell you it's a good thing. Glory! When God closes doors and says there's no room in the end. For those of you who are not saved or who are backslidden, please repeat after me. Father, I come in Jesus' name. I repent and ask forgiveness of my sin. Glory. I ask you to come into my life now and be my Savior. Now, Lord, I confess that I am saved. Now, Lord, I confess that I am rededicated. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family of Christ. Everybody say it's a good thing when there is no room in the end. Say it again, it's a good thing when there's no room in the end. Now, my mother is on her way to Emory. She had a heart attack last night. But I tell you, wait to hear the praise report, because God closed every door to get her right where he wanted her to be. Our topic for today is no room in the end. Your task for today is to quit crying about the people who left. Quit crying about the doors that were closed. And begin to praise God every time the door closes, because you know all he's doing is getting you to where he wants you to be. No room in the end is a good thing. I'll see you in the morning at 7 a.m. Praise the Lord.
Just lift your worship right there in this moment.
In these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire.
Come on, sing.
Here I am, God.